Hey, what's your problem? You have business problems? We have business solutions. Well, maybe.
No money back.
Life is a fight.
That's true.
In business, every day is a fight.
So true.
So, hey, what's your problem?
Yes, as always, thank you, John David Wells, the big voice guy for the program. Check him out at the Wells Report. He's on Facebook. Maybe he's on Instagram now. I don't know. Gotta look it up. You'd think I'd be more prepared. This is the What's Your Problem podcast, where we talk to Middle Tennessee business owners and professionals about the one thing. It's always something that keeps you up at night, or maybe prevents you from falling asleep, or gets you up early. That's kind of what we talk about, in addition to just the backstories of some of these amazing business owners and professionals around the area. This is a video and audio podcast, and we are going for 10,000. It's my big big hairy audacious goal for 2023 is the average of 10,000 downloads per episode, and you can help me with that. So make sure you go ahead to whatsyourproblempodcast.com, share, like, subscribe, rate. The trilogy, which is actually a quantigy, or a quadrilogy. I don't even know how to say that word, right? I am your host, Jim McCarthy, with JimMcCarthyVoiceovers.com. And today, a longtime friend from within the past 5 years or so, we became acquainted with each other.
It feels like it's been a lifetime ago.
Right? Mrs. Takesha Bromell.
You did really well.
Thank you. With Girl Friday Executive Assistant Services.
Business Solutions.
Damn it!
But we do executive assistant work, so right. You're still on target. There you go.
That's like the tip of the spear of what you do, right?
Yes.
The big ask. Well, there you go. If you've been following along, there's something that we do that we call the really bad musical transition there. I got to be better at that.
Okay, but I'm jamming over
here. We always kind of loosen things up with something fun. A feature that we call the Dad Joke Challenge, which is brought to you by itsyourshow.co, which produces podcasts. Amazingly enough, it produces this podcast, among others. Why podcasting? Well, you see all those, you want social media content that just kind of gets produced at capacity? Podcasting is the way to go because you can cut out all those little clips of little wisdom nuggets that you could drop on a podcast. And that's kind of the end game. So check us out, itsyourshow.co. If you want a podcast, we can produce it for you. All right, Takesha. We've got some dad jokes.
Uh-oh.
If you laugh, you lose a point. If you don't laugh, I lose a point. And the great thing about it, I don't keep score. Ready?
Let's go.
Joke number one. How do you stop a bull from charging?
I have no idea. Move out of the way.
Cancel its credit card. It's okay if I laugh. You can comment. You can totally groan. That's
I'm not going to do it.
I'm sorry. Joke number two. I haven't spoken to my wife in 4 years. I just thought it would be rude to interrupt her.
I'm going to laugh on that one.
All right. Question number three.
Okay,
or joke
number
three.
I'm not laughing on this next one.
That's
okay,
fine.
There you go.
You know, I really wish my gray hair started in Las Vegas because apparently what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Yeah, that was a snoozer.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, what's the difference between a man's wallet before and after kids?
It's still at zero.
There's that, and there's also pictures where the month's money used to be. Yeah. Okay, last one.
Okay.
I promise.
I think I'm winning this.
You are totally winning this. How do you follow Will Smith in the mud?
I have no... something about slapping, I'm sure.
It is not, oddly enough. You just have to follow the fresh prints. And that song ended perfectly. It oh my gosh. Where is my, I gotta get this.
What do I get for winning though?
Bragging rights.
Oh, bragging rights. Yeah. Okay.
There's all the cricket. Gonna have those more readily available. So there you go. The dad joke challenge again, brought to you by itsyourshow.co. And getting on with this, you and I met with Coach Bert back in the day. And Monster Producer.
Monster Producer.
I can't help but go into the impression every time I talk about Coach Bert. Coach Bert. GM, you gotta activate your prey drive.
That should have been the one that you actually asked me, because I would have laughed off of that one. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So that's right.
It was fortuitous, and we made a good connection there. Mm-hmm. Recently, you came as a visitor to BNI, and I'm like, oh my gosh, there you are.
There
How have you been?
Go. Right? Yes.
And you started Girl Friday out of your experience with Monster Producer.
Exactly right.
Right? And then from there, you kind of just, you've been blowing it up, man, right? You're just knocking it out of the park.
It has been amazing, honestly. When I left there, I think the Monster Producer people that were a part of the program really helped me see a big hole in business. Mm-hmm. And that hole was that every time I would talk to someone, they were talking about like they needed like a back office person or someone that could actually do the work for them.
Right.
And me having my master's in project management and everything, I was that person who could see mistakes. And I knew that there had to be other people like me out there, right?
Yeah.
That I could connect with a business owner and then we could actually support them. So it was really from that and talking to hundreds of, you know, like his clients that opportunity, it just was right there in front of me.
Right. Yeah. So it was amazing because in that organization, you were kind of doing the same thing, helping business owners develop the systems and processes.
Exactly right.
You know, so they can get the business going and make it so it wasn't so dependent on the owner.
Right. And there was a time when I thought that there would be an opportunity to do that there. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, but he was really good at, I would think would be more of the inspirational, like, okay, like the motivational part of speaking and sharing information and everything. He would do a lot of studying and then come back and then he would share it with his Monster Producers. Mm-hmm. I always felt like, okay, if you are a person that's more on the extroverted side and you're more the person who's a salesperson or whatever, that you needed someone that was going to be that person who put it all together. So it was great that you guys went to these meetings every month and connected with him. But salespeople are not the best at the follow through,
right,
at putting all those things together. So I always felt like it would have been great for them to have like their number twos come in and get that information and implement the things that he was talking about.
Right.
It's one thing to get you pumped up to go. It's another thing to bring someone in that really has a skill to then take those ideas and make them actually happen in your business.
Right.
So after a while of sitting there, it was just evident that that was kind of like, that became a dream of mine, was to help other people get out there and let them go out there, let you go out there and do what you do best, and let me do what I do best, which is like staying at home, staying in the office, and getting all of your things taken care of.
The admin.
The admin side of things, yes.
The less sexier side of business, I guess.
Yes.
But you find it very
sexy.
It's totally sexy. Yeah.
For me, it's absolutely sexy, yes. Yeah. I love that type of stuff.
So, I mean, helping somebody come up with systems, processes, things of that nature, that's a big center for you.
Big center. Yeah. Love it. And it's not just the administrative side. Like, I feel like when I'm talking about the difference between a VA and what we call ourselves, which are virtual executive assistants, the difference is you give a VA a document and you say, hey, I want you to do this. They will absolutely take care of that for you, which is awesome, right? We are a little bit different in as an executive assistant. We're looking at how can we systematize this into your business?
Right.
How can we take what you said and not only deliver it to you, but then come up with the process and the procedures so that you can do it over and over again, the same way with the same customer. So it's almost like the McDonald's thing. Like mm-hmm. you go to McDonald's and you get a hamburger. If you ask for a hamburger, they're going to fix it the same way. The only trouble that you ever have, what I always say, is like whenever you ask for something different than what they normally do,
yeah,
that's when you have problems with McDonald's, right? But it's always the same thing. And the McDonald's team did that years ago where they discovered that like creating that process that you can do over and over again is the way that you should do business turnkey. Like it's always the same every time.
Right. And that's where a lot of business owners get caught up.
Mm-hmm.
And now, to be fair, though, in the beginning, there are a lot of coaches that will say, well, hey, you need to know when to say no to things. But cash is oxygen to a business, especially mm-hmm. when you're bootstrapping it. Mm-hmm. So you have to say yes to a lot of things, which causes havoc and chaos. You got to get things done and keep the business alive and afloat to get to the point where you can begin to be selective and bring somebody in who can help you see how to remove. You know, so you can start. I love the one that said, well, you got to work on your business and not in it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Better, easier said than done.
Easier said than done.
Okay. In mm-hmm. the beginning, it's not, there's hardly any, unless you have, you know, massive amounts of VC money that's funding it. You gotta get cash coming in.
You do. I remember when I first started the business, that's 5 years ago. Well, I know. We just celebrated 5 years.
Good for you.
And that's not a small task or a small thing, because if you think about it, most businesses close within the first 5 years.
Yeah.
So getting to that 5 years, but what I would say is you're right. The thing that helped me when I started, it wasn't me thinking that I was going to have this large business.
Right.
What helped me was someone gave me a book called E-Myth that talks about the principle of what you're just talking about,
right.
which was, okay, you need to work on the business, not in the business. And reading that as I was going into my business, I was always looking for the opportunity to expand and move beyond myself.
Yeah.
I don't think that I would have ever thought that. I think I would have stayed in that one person solopreneur place for years if it wasn't for the thought process from reading that book and really some of the book into letting me know that I needed to automatically think that I was going to bring on my first person on my team.
Right.
That's when it really helped me.
And the book makes a lot of sense. Sally the baker mm-hmm. is the character in mm-hmm. the book. And Sally the baker worked for another bakery.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why should I make all the pies for this bakery? I can go off on my own and Absolutely. Make a lot more money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all you did was create a job for you to own.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's the premise of that.
And with the thought that the reason why you did that is because you loved baking.
Right.
That was your thing. And a lot of people stay in that narrow, it's not a narrow place. It's like you understanding that you want to be a solopreneur.
Yeah.
But then there's this opportunity that always comes to scale up, to grow your business, to decide that you're not going to be just the chief person there.
Yeah.
And that there were other people that could help. And I don't know that I would have made that jump if it wasn't for that book. That book really helped me understand that, so that I was open to when my first team member came on. My mm-hmm. first team member came on, and she was an intern. And then that helped me understand that I needed to go out there. What I love to do, I wasn't doing it anymore. I had to actually go out there and get business so I could pay for that intern.
Yeah. Now, did you have, I remember Brad Lee talked about the most basic of basic model when it comes to bringing new people on board. And in one of his podcast episodes, he explained it so simply. He goes, work till you got $10,000 a month coming in. Take five of it, hire somebody. Work till you got $15,000. Take five of it, hire somebody. Work with those three people till you got 20,000. Take five of it, hire somebody.
I may have should have heard that.
Right. And I'm going, huh. And
that
a lot of
sense.
My
yeah.
current business partner, we were talking before we started recording. He's one of the first people that explained to me the concept of expense justification. You know,
mm-hmm.
you're bringing somebody on, they got to be justified.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got to be producing, you know, 2 to 3x times the value of what you're paying them.
Mm-hmm.
And You know, we're kind of getting to that point where as we produce podcasts here at J Squared, you know, I bring another couple of podcasts on. Hey, we're there, man. We can bring somebody on to help me out because mm-hmm. God knows I'm getting there.
Gosh, you know.
I actually grew my hair back. I'm surprised at how thick and luxurious it is. Usually I'm supposed to lose hair in this situation.
Well, yeah. I went blonde, okay, because of the gray, right? Okay, long nights. I wish I would have probably thought about that before. I didn't.
Yeah.
I knew that at some point I couldn't do it myself. And this intern, actually, I had a client, and the intern ended up being someone that that didn't cost a lot of money. Like right. It was a whatever. And it just helped me then understand, okay, and I just kept going. And as projects came on, like the way that we're set up, it's more billable to the actual client. So that's how we kind of grew. You stayed on your client's hours and all that kind of stuff. And we yeah. stayed there for a long time. And we then had to get to a point where we decided to, that there were going to be some team members that were going to work on Girl Friday stuff. And that was like our next step in the process was to kind of like grow into that. But at first, it was like project work.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You stayed on your client's project, and that's how we made money. And then we had to figure out other ways to make money outside of that.
It being the tip of the spear, the executive assistant, mm-hmm. Virtual executive assistant approach, but exactly now you offer so right. much more.
Yes. Yeah. And then also, I guess the other part of that was understanding, like it took me some time to understand what our unique value was and understand the difference between what we were going to do and what a virtual assistant was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And as that happened, we were able to like increase our revenue through like, you know, charging more because we decided to be more of a concierge helping you, working on your systems and your processes, like your SOPs and your standard operating procedures and that type mm-hmm. stuff. We decided to kind of like take it a step further than the normal VA,
right.
like I said, who's wanting to kind of like get a task done. Yes, we want to get a task done, but how do we create systems and put things in place that will help you?
You're more consultative.
Exactly right. Yeah,
you bring your expertise to the table, whereas a VA is waiting for the next direction.
Yes, exactly right.
You're actually being proactive and saying, okay, I see what you want to do here, but here's the steps. Here are the best processes to do that.
Exactly right. Here are the best systems.
Yeah.
Here's how we can automate this so that it's much easier.
Right.
Like, you know, if you're working with a CRM system or something like that, how do we automate some of your communications and things like that and the people that you connect with
mm-hmm.
so that you don't have to be sitting at your desk at midnight trying to make those emails and send those emails out. So there's some things we can do to automate systems for you.
Doug, for someone like me, I need somebody, you know, scheduling. A lot of my own scheduling I do. My wife has offered to help me with it, but I'm like, I just don't know what you can help me with. It's just, I just go on my phone when I make an arrangement. Maybe I can get a Calendly or something mm-hmm. like that going.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, Calendly, there's a perception when somebody gives me, it's almost like a stiff arm, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, why don't we just, you know, what day is good for you? Just tell me what day. Well, I'll look at my phone. Good, mm-hmm. we're done. Mm-hmm. You know, well, go to my calendar and it's all, you know.
It's all right there.
Yeah, it's all right there. And I see where, you know, okay, you know, I don't know. There's something about it that just makes my nose wrinkle, but mm-hmm. I understand the premise of it. Maybe mm-hmm. this is something I need to get past. But, you know, for somebody to executive assist me, it'd probably just be more for scheduling, getting emails back to people, simple stuff. What I need help with is production work, you know, mm-hmm. getting videos produced, podcasts produced as we grow this side of the business.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any connections with people in that space that are creatively like video production people?
We do some of that. We do some of that. And right. we also do some of the podcast stuff. Last year, maybe it's a year and a half ago, I started my own podcast. I did that for a while, but I had just had a really bad cold and my voice was kind of like strained through that right. entire process.
Mm-hmm.
And so I needed a break from it or whatever. Right. And so
what was the podcast called?
It's the Takesha Bromell podcast.
Takesha Bromell Show.
Yes.
The Bromell Show.
The Bromell Show.
Yeah.
Yes. And so I did that for like maybe 6 months. they're making me do it again to revive it again.
It's not a bad idea. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's a lot of concepts you can talk about. Was it mostly just, hey, I'm addressing the camera type of format?
It was more like faith and business and how you're able to kind of navigate that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have those hard moments where it's hard to do that, but, you know, sticking to your faith and believing in God. And so I did that. It was really good, but my voice was just strained.
Right.
So I feel like it's been almost a year now. Mm-hmm. It's probably time to kind of, my voice has had time to kind of like relax. And now we're going to do it again.
Did it garner some interest for your business?
It did.
Okay.
It did.
Good prospecting tool. Because I mean, I tell people about podcasts a lot. You know, and I came up with about 9 virtues of podcasting. Helps you become a better speaker, a better listener, a better salesperson. It gets your business out there, gets your clients' business out there. Hopefully because of that, they'll share it and increase your awareness as well. You know, you're kind of both helping each other out. Mm-hmm. But the biggest one is, who do you want to meet? You know, how many people I've met and had an hour of their time that they charge thousands of dollars for consultation, you know, and they've given it to me for free on my podcast.
Oh,
just by
asking.
That's
very smart. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you just never know who will take you up on it. Mm-hmm. And it, of course, of how you produce your podcast, how it sounds, how it looks. My radio background just puts me, you know, years ahead.
Well, and you have the voice too.
I mean, it over years it took to develop it. But I mean, I kind of look at it as, you know, Howard Stern meets business kind of thing, even though I'm not talking about, you know, raunchy stuff most of the time. But, you know, things do come up from time to time, and I the filter comes off. And I say things that just, you know, they leave my mouth before I have time to think about it. So
I think those are some of the spontaneous moments that you have to have in anything that you do.
It's funny. We watched his movie the other night, Private Parts, which came out in 97, I want to say. And it's funny. I was such a fan back then. I went and saw it in a movie theater with my parents.
With your parents.
I know. I was 22. And the moment that he realizes that... the transition of him becoming just himself from being the, you know, hey, everybody, come on down, 106.9 WCCC. And, you know, he went from the character of being a DJ. And it happened when he had to do a live read for a client. And he didn't have the copy in front of him. So somebody was off mic, frantically trying to find the copy. And he's milking the ad, just going, you know, I've been going to these guys for years. They're a multi-generational family business. They really treat you right. And he's like, you know, mouthing to Fred Norris going, I don't have any copy. And then finally Fred just, you know, he gets it to him after he's, you know, been vamping this whole time.
Yeah.
He takes the copy and he says, and their grand opening is this weekend. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know,
hilarious.
Guys, I, you know, you just caught me in a lie right here. I was just completely lying to you because I just wasn't honest. I can assure you that will just never happen again.
So he just came out and said that?
He just came out and said it. Wow. He admitted it, but he was himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his whole voice.
He was owning it.
Right.
Yeah.
And his whole voice changed. He was all of a sudden just being himself.
Wow.
And that's what I teach a lot of people, you know. Mm. You know, in radio, I guess you get a lot more characters that come on the air. But, you know, in podcasting, it's more, I think people understand that they just got to be themselves.
Yeah, that's true. And for you, it's... The awesome thing about, I guess, you doing your networking and all the other stuff is that you find people to come on the show. Like me and you reconnecting after years of not seeing you was amazing. And then to be here today, that's awesome.
Well, that was the thing. I saw you immediately and I'm like, I got to get her on the podcast.
Yeah.
It would be a great conversation. Because, I mean, what you offer has such a great impact to a multitude of business owners.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how much have you, over the past 5 years... And 5 years seems to be the number when you really know you have something.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people going into business, entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, I tell them with podcasting, it's going to be a grind. You're in for 2 to 3 years minimum before you see any fruit from your labor.
And how long have you been doing it now?
My podcast?
Mm-hmm.
This podcast has been in existence since 2020, fall of 2020.
I was going to say, I felt like, did I say 100 episodes? Or do you do it every week?
I try to get about 1 to 2 episodes a week out.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, again, systems and processes.
Yeah.
somebody that can help me with, okay, it's Tuesday, do we have an episode? And somebody can just run, here's the episode, here's the content, get it up.
I may have a team member for you.
You know?
Uh-oh.
That's fine. That's fine. I mean, it's kind of getting to the point that maybe that's what it looks like right now, you know, as long as it's budget friendly and all that fun stuff. So in the past 5 years, you've ramped up, started with a handful of clients, I would imagine. And what did that scale look like? Where are you now?
So last year, we doubled our revenue, which I was not expecting that.
Nice.
To the point where we're now, like, it was amazing to see that, but we were not expecting that. We were just thinking about, like, it was going to grow.
Yeah.
Like, maybe 30, 40, maybe 50%, but we grew. And so our team members, we probably had about 10 or 11 team members, and we're now at almost at 30 team members now.
All virtually working?
All virtually working. They're across the country. We have 4 team members in Canada.
Wow.
And so we are just exponentially growing, which is amazing. So can we get to the what's the problem?
You know what? hold on. Let me pull it up here.
Here I am leading you.
That's fine. You lead me all the way. It's tough being a bus driver. What is your problem?
What is my problem? Okay. Since we were talking about it, growing pains. You have growing pains that happen in your business. Mm-hmm. And so for us, like last year, I was like, what is going on? It felt like we were, something was going on. Like it just felt like, you know, like financially, we felt a little bit uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? Like things seemed like
unstable.
Not unstable, but really kind of like the revenue, something was going on with the revenue.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember like looking through like all of my stuff and like, and we have like different, like places where money comes into our account. And so I'm like looking at all of that and I'm like looking like every quarter we're growing and it's going higher. So by the middle of the year, I'm like, I feel like this is, it feels a little uncomfortable. Like we're in a different place than what we were, what's going on. And I happen to like look at like our receivables and everything. And as I'm like looking over, instead of looking at it from a three month period and quarterly, I was looking at it from globally, like what we were making.
50,000 feet.
And it was, oh my goodness, we're about to double. If we are on pace, if we continue this pace, we're going to double what we made last year.
Wow.
And so I realized that there was growing pains. So my friend, I had a friend who gave me a book that I hadn't started reading yet. And it was called No Man's Land. And there's this topic that he talks about and he's kind of grasping with is, what do you do when you're too big to be small, but you're too small to be big?
Right.
Okay. So I'm starting to read this book and understand that there's a complexity that happens when you start getting over 200,000, around 300,000, 400,000, when you start getting into that $250,000 to $500,000 and you're really kind of like ramping up to get to that $1 million, that banks don't want to loan you things. They don't want to give you loans. Because they're not sure if you're going to make it or not.
Like
you're at the 5 years. They're not quite sure that they want to put money into that company. Once you get to $1 million, they're like, okay, you made it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the farm. Have what you want. But you're in that unique place of having to figure out what you're going to do next or whatever. And so we just found ourselves in that between $250,000 to $500,000
a month
and wondering.
A month?
Oh, I wish it was a month. Right. Okay. But wondering what we were going to do and everything. And so we had to start strategizing in that way or whatever. So what our problem is that we're still continuing to grow.
Yeah.
And so we're like looking and saying, okay, so do we need venture capitalists? Do we need to have someone that is ready? Like if we want to get to $1 million and that's what we want to do, how do we get there?
Yeah.
Do we need to have like some type of financial person that's connected to us that is like maybe investing or something? Do we want to go after and you know, and then supplement some of that with grants and things like that. Like, you just get to a point where you're too big to be small and too small to be big. And you have to start making some decisions to get to the next jump. And the next jump for us would be, we would love to obviously have a revenue of $1 million.
Right.
And so we have to go for it. Right. So this year is going to shape up. 2023 is going to really shape up to be more of us really digging deep and going after some investors or something like that to go to that next level. Because what you were saying earlier, you probably either started with it, and that's probably was the best thing to do was to start with it. But we've just kind of like not, we've been blessed. I won't say luck, that was blessed to get to a point of significant growth in 1 year.
Right.
And we want to see that happen again.
Well, I mean, if you don't need to take on any debt or investor money and you can do it on your own.
Oh, that's awesome. Right? Yeah. It's just, it, we've done really well.
Right.
And now we're saying, do we need to do that or don't we need to do that? Like, do we just let it, we just keep going?
It's funny because, I mean, maybe the solution to your problem is in my business partner. And having him sit down and talk to you, because he does that a lot with other businesses. And, you know, with his own, he was, the reason why he's in business himself was because he would go out in a previous capacity and help other business owners with certain things and strategies. And one of them asked him, well, how long have you owned a business? And he goes, well, I've never owned a business. He says, I'll tell you right now that all of your concepts are really good, but I can't take any of them seriously because you have no idea what it's like to own a business. And he says, that stuck with me. He was the first episode of this podcast for this year.
Okay.
Listen to it.
Go back
and listen. His name is John Warner. I champion him all the time. And he's just one of those juggernauts. He'll be able to look at your business with a fresh set of lenses and look at the books. You know, he can read them all, interpret them all. And just, you know, hey, here's what I think you need to do. He's good at taking businesses where you are and getting them out of first, second gear into third, right?
Okay.
And he'll tell you himself, he says, I can get us to a $7 to $10 million a year business. But after that, I'm going to need some help. I'm going to need somebody I can pull from that knows how to grow us from 10 million to 30. 30 to 50, that kind of thing. He says, I've never been there. I've never done that. I don't know what the challenges are. So I'm going to need some help when that comes time. He's big enough and knows well in himself well enough to admit that, which I appreciate.
You know, it's good to know where you need an inflection of a new thought or a new idea or a new person to kind of like come in and like look at things. It's good to know when you may have not exhausted, because I think that we as people are able to transcend a lot of different things, but it's always good to have an open ear and being able to kind of like maybe see it from a different perspective. It's always good to do that. And that's what I've been doing lately is, like, I was reading that book last year. That book is not relevant now because I've already done that big leap. Okay, so now it's time to kind of like get a fresh perspective and everything. And kind of like push yourself.
Well, I mean, I could see you being like a franchise almost kind of brand.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yes. It is coming.
Right. Yes. I wouldn't be surprised if you're thinking that direction, you know, because it
absolutely
is massively scalable.
It is absolutely.
And you started here. I mean, Nashville is the perfect launch point because it's come up in past episodes how entrepreneurially friendly this area is. There's a lot of that energy here. I mean, tonight we're going to the Entrepreneur Center for the podcasting meeting that they have once a month. I've never been. Everyone's, you got to go. Okay, fine, I'll go. It's just such a long drive for me, you know, in the middle of the week. So we're going tonight, and the energy here. Brad Lee, when he was on here the last time, he talked about how he gets recognized here. You know, he's got a massive following on social media. He's one of those guys who's becoming within that fraternity of entrepreneurs on social media. He hangs up there right up with the Cardones, the Milets,
Vaynerchuks
and stuff like that. But he, He says, I don't get recognized in Vegas, which is where he primarily lives. I think he's got a place out here in Nashville now. And he goes, people recognize me all the time out here. And I said, dude, there's a reason for that. Mm-hmm. I lived in Vegas. I don't think they have the entrepreneurial
culture. I don't think so either.
No, it's powerful
here. Yeah, it is here. Yeah. I used to live in Atlanta, and it's like that in Atlanta as well. Mm-hmm. And which is a corridor to here.
Yeah.
They're 3 hours away.
I would say Austin is kind of it's probably San Antonio's similar, you know. Mm-hmm. I would even say a lot of towns in Alabama are really starting to come up.
I think they are.
Yeah, Birmingham and
Huntsville.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, talking about a launch pad, perfect for what you're doing to establish, you know, have the credibility that comes along with it, and then just figuring out how to expand another, you know, selling off maybe hub and spoke type of model franchise.
I definitely could see that. That was one of the things that was kind of on my board when I first started. So when I first started, I actually met with million-dollar producers in different industries. And because I wasn't sure, you know, I was like, should I do this or not? Like, you know, and every one of them I left with, it was amazing. Like I left with another piece of the possibilities of my business.
Right.
And it was like maybe 5, 6, 7 people. And it was really good because they gave me things that are still on my board that I still kind of like look at and say, okay, is it that time yet? No, it's not. Maybe not that time yet or whatever. So I love thinking outside of the box and not letting thoughts get away from you. I think that sometimes we are these people that will think of something and say, no, I want to put it on the board and just let it kind of like marinate for a little while and then look at it. And that was one of the things was, did I want to myself be that person that was going to be across the globe? Because I believe that Girl Friday is that type of company. It's a great name.
Yeah.
It does all of the, it checks all the different boxes and the bells and whistles for me. But it was like, okay, do I want to do that? And then I was talking to someone. They were like, do you want to do that? Or do you want someone else to do that?
Right.
Do you want to have like, you know, where it's a franchisable type business where people can plug in from any country and they can create it themselves and Girl Friday can become a name all on its own without you having to put your money, you're getting that money, right? As it franchises and everything. So it could absolutely be something like that.
I guess the barrier would be to find, as you scale up, finding people to handle the accounts that are coming on board because, you know, each person in the organization could only handle so many accounts, I would assume.
That's true.
Right.
And that's why we've grown to like maybe, you know, over 30. So for us to double again this year, that means that we would have about 60 team members.
Yeah.
And
that would be your $1 million.
That's exactly right.
Valuation.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And that's, $1 million valuation. How many clients is that for you?
The awesome thing is that we have a nice group of clients, but within those clients, we're continuing to grow into them. So, for example, we would come on and we would work with you and we would have a team member that works for you or works with you.
Right.
And then as you grow, then the level of work that we do for you grows as well.
Therefore, the monthly spend increases.
Exactly right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
But we have a nice group of clients right now.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, but assessing that, okay, if I'm doing $1 million and $2 million a year, you're looking at $250,000 a month.
Exactly.
At that point, that looks like something where, like, even for me, if I'm doing, you know, we want to grow the, I'm mainly in charge of creating the media marketing for J Squared, whether it's the lighting, whether it's podcasts. Podcasts are going to help us create the media team that'll help pay for that. But, you know, being this is what I do, it could take off. It could be a, you know, $500,000 a year business in 3 years, how podcasting is going and clip creation is going. I got to look at, okay, how many clients is that? And what's the workload look like? You know?
And for us, like we have some really good clients that are growing in their own spot, and then they're connected. So we get a lot of referrals and things like that from our clients. And so it's just been a really amazing how all of that's been
working. It may not be a franchise. It may just you just advertise it and you're the central office and you bring people on, and maybe the systems and processes are more for the people you bring on, and the culture creation, which is your responsibility.
It is.
Being CEO, culture enforcement officer, as I've heard it mentioned before by Mr. Joe Agresti in Dream Motor Group. He calls himself the culture enforcement officer. that's one of the things that it's nice to work on, but you got to get there.
You got to get there.
Yeah.
And it last year taught us a lot. We've, you know, implemented, I think in the very beginning of the year, like I felt this impression from God that said, you know, like make sure that you have like all of your processes in place, like really work on your processes in the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And we did that, which was wonderful because it led us through last year. But obviously now, as we're gearing to add on another 30 team members or whatever, another possible 30 to 40 clients, that's a whole new, another level or whatever. So we're continuing to look at that at the beginning of the year, add things, put things in place so that we can really take off this year.
Right.
And we haven't slowed down at all.
Since the beginning.
Yeah.
Right. It has been going, going, going.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really incredible.
Awesome.
And I'm happy to hear it because I remember interacting with you back with in the days of Coach Burt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because there's one thing that you said before about, you know, bringing in people to see through a different lens.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you can't see the picture if you're inside the frame.
There you go.
Coach Burt, you know, I'm just cajoling you if you happen
gosh.
To watch this.
Yes.
Come on. You know, he knows I'm joking around. And I, you know, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
It has to be, right? Right. Okay,
but you know he's doing pretty well for himself too. I would.
He is from what I understand. I haven't talked to him in years, probably since I left. But every once in a while, I'll get like a like from him on like on my Facebook page, and I'm like, oh wow, I've said something profound here.
I wonder
if it's somebody in the background, like maybe you know one of his team members or something that's like liking something or whatever, or is it really him?
Yeah.
So yeah,
I commented on something that Eric put up the other day. Eric White, who he's I guess probably lead sales guy
or
now.
Something like that.
Something
Dan.
Like that. Mm-hmm. He put up something the other day that was about political and how we got to turn the country around and blah 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 blah. I'm like, dude, you're never going to do it on social media.
No.
And he goes, he's like,
at home.
You're probably right. Like, no, I know I'm right.
No, you are right. Yes.
You're not going to change anybody's mind.
Nobody's mind there. Yeah.
So going forward with, you know, the next 5-10 years, I mean, what does that look like for you?
Gosh, so I did a couple of things last year, the past 2 years. So 2 years ago, so that would have been 2021. My father was sick, things were going on, and I decided that I really, before then, I decided that I really wanted to take 2 weeks of vacation off.
Yeah.
Okay, because, you know, entrepreneurs don't take time off or whatever. Yeah. So I wanted that time off. I decided to, I didn't have to be the end all be all to everything. So I started to pass my work off to my team members and things like that. I built a leadership team. So it was like me and then two other team members. And we went through that process. And so that was really good to do that. Of those people, they've kind of like matriculated up into my president of my company and now my COO of my company.
Mm-hmm.
And so last year was our year of really kind of like instead of being more flat, but kind of creating like a structure in the business that was more vertical, like team leads and managers and all those kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
So as we did that, that was awesome. So I met with someone like maybe a couple like a year ago as well, and she is a philanthropist. Like she sold her company. Her and her husband sold the company. She's now maybe a millionaire, zillionaire, or whatever, enough where she just really is like she'll donate her time or give her time away to small businesses and things like that.
Right.
So when I met her, I was like, I need to meet with you. Like, how do I get to where we're at Starbucks and she has on a little sundress and a hat and I'm here with my slacks on and whatever. Like, how did you get there where or whatever? And
I built a business and I sold it.
And that's exactly right. Okay. But it's about succession planning and how do you back yourself out of the business that you're not in another 20 years still working at it? You know,
Jason Duncan talks about that quite a bit. Mm-hmm. You know, you're familiar, Jason, with exit without exiting.
Yeah.
Yeah. You talk, that's his big thing.
And so that's my thing right now.
Right.
So I promoted last year my president, and with that, I now have an exit plan of attack of when I feel like I'm going to be out of the business.
Right.
So for me, the next couple of years is going to look more about me doing, working on the business development part of it.
And yet that you've allowed, you've gotten the license to do that now.
That's right.
Yeah.
So now my president is handling operations. I get to go out and sell the business. I get to push it, push the business and really get us in a place where whenever, to get us to that $1 million.
Yeah.
So that whenever I leave, the business can really flourish without me having to be there. We can bring on more business development people. I can kind of like back my way out of it. So I backed my way out of the day-to-day operations. And so now I can work on the business development.
Right.
And then I can back my way out of that by hiring more business developers. And then I'm kind of like out of the company and really doing other things. Like if you are a if you are an entrepreneur, you do multiple entrepreneurial type things.
Yeah.
So there are other ideas and things that I have, you know, on paper somewhere that I would like to get to.
But you have to get this one done first.
That's right.
Chop at this tree.
Chop
until
at this
tree. Until it's done.
And that is Michael, what was it? Keep the Wood. Like, what's his name? From, we were just talking about Kevin and Mike Hard.
From Churchill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin Watson.
And, but what was Kevin Watson's, like the owner of Churchill? Is that
Mike Hardwick?
Mark Hardwick. Mm-hmm. He has a book called, is it Chop the Wood or something like that?
Might be. I'll have to look into that, but it makes so much sense. And it came up in a conversation today after B&I, we had one of our power team meetings and, somebody had talked about how, like the picture you painted with the girl in the Starbucks, you know, just kind of living life on her times.
Yes.
She's in her get to years.
That's exactly right.
Right. We're in our have to years.
That's exactly right.
Even though I get to do what I do. So I have a mixture of both. I enjoy what I do.
Mm-hmm.
This is fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I look forward to coming into work.
Mm-hmm.
It's a purpose type of purposeful life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that you really look at and say, okay, a lot of these guys on social media are showing this idyllic life of carefree living. Here's me in front of my car on the beach and we're on a boat and blah, blah, blah. And look at me doing this every day. I'm living my best life, quote unquote. And I go, you know, I've heard both sides of the passive income argument. And I have to say that there's nearly there's a such thing of it, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's you still got to work.
Yeah, you do.
You know, you still have to have some sort of work involved.
Mm-hmm.
So that the girl in the sundress in the Starbucks on the surface might appear that she's just footloose and fancy free.
Mm-hmm.
She's still got stresses, you know.
Oh, we all do. Yes, right. It's just like I think that when I was thinking about it, it was more like, okay, how do I get what did you say? Did you say get to?
Like the get 2 years.
The get to.
Yeah. We're all working towards them.
Exactly right. Yeah. Where I get to do the things. And I remember talking about this on my podcast. Like this is like maybe a year ago. And I was just talking about like that place where when you're like looking at maybe not looking at your life, but where you are in a place of okay, I get to kind of like own my time fully.
Right.
And that's where we are all working to get to, where we own our own time.
Mm-hmm.
We can do the things that, because there are sometimes we do things that we don't want to do.
Yeah.
You know, even today,
yep.
You know what I'm saying? And when I don't have to do anything that I don't want to do.
Well, I mean, there's going to be a balance, you know, in the beginning of life, in the 20s and 30s of our lives, there's a lot of stuff that we don't have to, it's out of balance, right? Those are the have to years. You know, my story is I didn't finish college, something that I had to do. And everyone told me I had to do. If I didn't do it, I'd be a loser. You know, that was fed into me. that turned into, well, college didn't work out, go learn a trade. Mm-hmm. A trade is a great thing to learn. Helps you with throughout life. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge believer in it now. But it was one of those things at the time, I knew I had something different. I had to do something and get out of my system, the creative aspect mm-hmm. of my personality. And that came in the form of radio. Mm-hmm. But before that, it was working with my dad, putting in phone systems. That transitioned into doing electrical work. And I did a lot of electrical work for a season. And eventually landed in radio full time. But those years in the electrician business, the electrical business, I woke up every day going, why do I have to do this again? It was awful. So, I mean, that really does take an emotional toll on you. And that's what I mean is that it's kind of out of balance where a lot of your everything's have to, your get to is like, okay, I just want to live for the weekend. You know, I think once we get it back into balance, your get to, especially where I am now, I'm like evenly placed. Mm-hmm. Nothing's ever going to be idyllic, right? Mm-hmm. Retirement to me is like a death knell. I don't want to ever get to the point where I wake up wondering what I'm going to do that day. Mm. So there's that's the other side of it. You
well,
know?
I could absolutely retire, mm-hmm. but I definitely know that I would be still absolutely involved in, like, I think what I loved about what she was doing was that she was giving it back.
Right.
But she was giving it back to the people that she saw where she was at that maybe 10 years ago.
You're right. I get it.
And she's giving it back to those people who she saw where she was.
I remember being there.
Let me help you mm-hmm. in your business.
Right. No, I get that. I get that. And that's something that's a fun get to do.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. being able to just kind of sit down. There's no pressure. I don't have to be anywhere. Mm-hmm. I'm in control of my own time, but I still have purpose.
Exactly right. And my purpose is to bring that next generation along too.
Right.
Yeah.
Pour into and mentor and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's funny and came up today that I said, you know, not a lot of people. I said, we talked about the last episode of my podcast or second to last with Dr. Grant Bell, mm-hmm. who took a school and turned it around up in Springfield, Tennessee. It was a school that started out with students and parents who didn't want to send their students to the school. Inner city school, a lot of, you know, kids with problems at home and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And he just turned the culture around. Mm-hmm. He started by calling them scholars, mm-hmm. you know. And I said, man, it's just, it all started with that. And I said, now he's a steam magnet school.
Amazing.
It's going to be from six, it's going to be a 6-12 school at some point. And parents now have to, in fifth grade, they have to apply to go there mm-hmm. to be in sixth grade for their kids. So now it's a person of a school of interest. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing what you can just do when you just tell people that you believe in them.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And that's kind of like what you're talking about.
Yeah. And for me, that age group is not like maybe preteen. So that seventh and eighth grade, like before you get to high school, yeah. I think they're a little bit more manageable and a mm-hmm. little bit more, there's a way to mold them more. I think once you get into high school, I feel like I lose that entire generation.
There's and some then hardwiring that
that's
happens.
That's exactly right. yeah. Some things that happen, they get off focus yeah. for a minute.
Yeah.
And then they go to college and then I can jump back in again. But I feel like it's like that before high school. And then after in college that I could actually work with and help.
Yeah. Yeah. yes. And I get what you're saying. To be in the place like that where you can just take meetings and just talk to people and encourage them.
Encourage them.
You know, and see things that they're not seeing or what I like to call the outside of their bottle. They can't mm-hmm. see their own label.
They can't. You know?
And it's funny because people I met an entrepreneur today. He's 27 years old. And I go, dude, I feel for you. He goes, why? I said, because you're in the time of life. There's been a study done that generations, some of the happiest people are between 40 and 60 years old. Mm. 20 to 40 is some of the most miserable parts of people's lives.
It is.
And it's like, why is that?
Well, let me tell you,
some
of it is I didn't find my voice and say what was on my mind. Really, until I got into my 40s. I feel like I was able to start the process of saying what I really felt or whatever and being okay with it. Like, okay, if you're not okay with it, that's fine. But I'm going to speak my voice and say what I want to say.
Yeah.
I really think that
you're give a damn's busted at that point.
That's right. Okay, you just don't care. And but I don't think that you get that until you get into your 40s.
Yeah.
I don't think that you get good, and I don't know what to call it, right, but you don't get good until you're into your 40s.
Yeah.
That's when you start to see like what you take ownership of what you who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a master. I love personality profiles. I love like looking, understanding like
DISC and all that stuff.
That's exactly right. So I love the DISC. I love the Myers-Briggs. I know I'm an INTJ. I take ownership of that. That means that sometimes I can be, people think that I'm being rude when I'm not.
Right.
You know, I just speak my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm absolutely okay
yeah,
with
but
that.
You have couth and tact when it comes
of
to
of course
that.
I yeah. do. Of course I do. But if you were to talk to, as an INTJ, if I were to talk to, on the DISC profile, someone that's more of a, maybe an SC. S's lead with their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
On the INTJ, like if you have the feeling, rather if you have the feeling, you lead with your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So when I talk to you, and we do, we actually test our team members when they come on that, because if I talk to you, which is not harsh to you, if I were to talk to them like that, it would hurt their feelings.
Right.
So we are very cognizant of personality and that sometimes, like as a leader of this company, I have to say what I have to say.
Right.
But I also have to like look who's in front of me when I'm saying it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how they're receiving it.
And not even how they're receiving, but before I even go into the meeting.
Yeah.
Like I'm already being cognizant of who I'm actually dealing with so that I don't leave person, so that I don't harm them, but I still have to say my truth and say what I mean. So, yeah.
In a way that they're going to receive it with... Mm-hmm. Saliency.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a, I don't imagine that DISC profiles as we get older, because I remember we did one, I can't remember what we called it back in my South Central radio days, but it was like a DISC and it was numbers. Like, oh, I'm a high 3, I'm a low 4, you know.
Okay, I feel like I've seen that before. Yeah. And colors, they have colors too. Yeah.
I think Angela Prophet, she does colors on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was, you know, I thrived on positive feedback, and whenever I did something, I wanted to show you. Take a look at this. You know?
Okay. Yes.
And not tell me how great it is. You know, that's what drove me, and they understood that about me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I feel like that about me has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Like I couldn't care less. Mm-hmm. You know I put out good stuff. You're gonna hear it. If you tell me it's great, I'll be like, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm flattered. But I don't crave that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I crave. My wife and I being able to go get to do stuff or get to.
That's important. Yeah. You know, I'm still singling out here. I'm divorced.
Uh-huh.
And so that can be like the decisions that I make and the things that bring me joy. I want to be doing those things. So that's another reason why I decided to kind of like have a date out there and start the process of finding the people that I felt like were going to be like, that would be with the company for a while.
Right.
And start the process of giving that work out to other team members and things like that. I think that there's something about what happens with entrepreneurs that we feel like we have to be in control over everything.
Yeah. It's actually quite the opposite.
And I don't want to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I am absolutely okay with that. And I believe that was like one of the problems that I found when I was working for Coach was that the salespeople and the people that the owners of businesses, they wanted the control of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were scared to hire another person and it fail. And I remember saying, okay, there is someone out there, and let me find not just a team of people that are going to just be able to do a task, but let's show you all of these business owners that you can find someone that can absolutely kind of like cross over and transcend your mind of what a real person can be? Can we think outside of the box? I always talk about white glove service with my team. Can we think outside of the box? Can we anticipate our clients' needs? Can we think, like, when they say one thing, we're like, okay, I want to even do that. I want to create a raving fan.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, with all that being said, how do people discover, find, and follow you?
Gosh. Okay. So that is Girl Friday, businesssolutions.com.
Nice.
And then TakeishaBromell.com. So mm-hmm. either way, you can find me. So yeah.
All mm-hmm. your socials are there?
All socials are there and nice. Everything.
Yes. We're going to make sure, of course, everything's going to be in the description. Look up Takeisha, follow her along. If there's yes. something that we can, that she can help you out with, reach out to her. And, you know, she's definitely worth a call.
Yes, right? Absolutely.
So there you go. Thank you for being on. Guys, check out whatsyourproblempodcast.com. Again, the year of 10,000 downloads.
10,000.
Help me get out there. Yes. Help us get there. Go to whatsyourproblempodcast.com. Like, follow, subscribe, share, all that fun stuff. And let us know how we're doing. If there's somebody that you think would be a good fit for the podcast, let us know. Of course, we shoot them in person. You got to come down here to the state line of Alabama here in Thompson Station. It seems like that for some people. They feel like they're going out of state, you know, especially if they're up in Nashville. But
or Murfreesboro.
It's totally yeah, Murfreesboro, too. Totally worth it, I think. Mm-hmm. So let them know about us, if you will. Takeisha, thank you so much for coming
thank
out here.
You.
Really appreciate it.
Thank
been
you.
Amazing conversation. Mm-hmm.